Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Kids are great. They are. Although, sometimes, it could just be me, sometimes it seems they drive us up the wall. Raising kids these days is a challenge. Actually, raising kids has always been a challenge. If you know your Bibles, you may know that Adam had to deal with some fairly major squabbles between his two boys. You can almost imagine Eve telling Adam, "I told you to talk to Cain about his anger management issues." Problems with parenting are not new. I am passionate about parenting. I read books and articles about parenting. If you look on the church website, there's the little blog there, and I've got a whole page pointing to some of the rest of the references that I've encountered. I encourage you to look at that later. Within parenting, I'm passionate in particular about fathering, because I believe God calls men to responsibility in parenting. All of us, everybody who is in Christ, is called to servant leadership. And fathers in particular are called to servant leadership, which is vital to remember as we come to Father's Day. And this is actually my first ever Father's Day message I've ever given specifically for Father's Day. And as I do this, I am acutely aware that for some people, this will be a really, really painful topic. For some, there's a gaping hole in your heart where your earthly father should be, because he was never there. For others, thoughts of your father bring pain because he was abusive. Some fathers and mothers are racked with guilt because they see themselves as failure as parents. Some mothers feel the massive load of having to be both father and mother to their children. And then there are single fathers, there are blended families, there are grandparents carrying the responsibilities, there are foster parents. Life is often very messy and really painful. My own mother lost her father when she was 9. Her father had abused his wife, my grandmother. Eventually, when my grandmother saw the kids were in danger, she left him. And shortly after that, my mother's father was dead. Suicide. Just before she lost her earthly father, my mum had a conversation where she was reminded that God is her heavenly father. She was encouraged to pray to our Father in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray, in advance of when it was so desperately needed. She was reminded that God is the good Father who is always there for us. And I spoke to my mum this week and was reminded just how valuable this truth has been to her throughout her life. As Christians, we know the love of our Father in heaven. This love is the driving force, is to be the driving force behind all our love, but especially our love as parents. As Christians, we have the example of our fatherhood, of our Father in heaven. Parenthood is a high calling. It is a challenging calling, partly because in fatherhood, we are imitating God. So as we read just before this, "For this reason," writes Paul, "I kneel before the Father from whom every family," or from whom every father, all fatherhood in heaven and on earth derives its name. Because the Greek word for their patria can be translated either way, fatherhood or family, because the original Greek word refers to a father's responsibility in the family. Every family on earth is an imitation, called to be an imitation of the family God is drawing together. This means that for us, those of us who are parents, we have a big responsibility. Our families are called to reflect God's family. And our leadership of our families is to reflect God's leadership of us. This also means that even if you are not a father here today, which obviously the majority of you won't be, but if you're not a mother either, and there are many of you who are not parents or are now in a different season of life, that what we'll look at today is really important for you. It's really important for all of us for at least two reasons. Firstly, because we will learn more about God as our Father. Again, I heard from Mum again this week how critical it is and what a difference it makes knowing God as our Father and knowing Him more. And secondly, today we'll look at living in a family that knows God. And what does God call us to be as His church in this place? He calls us to be His family. We are the family of God. Seated around you are your brothers, your sisters, spiritual children and parents, uncles, aunts. All of us have responsibilities in God's family. We're all spiritual uncles and aunts of the kids out there. Now, fathers lead our families. All parent figures lead our families. Sometimes it may not feel like we are leading the rabble, but we do set direction for our kids, and usually more than we realise. There's a massive social science research to support this. I'm not going to go through lots of social science stats and stuff. I'm a nerd, I get into that stuff. But just be honest, if we each look at ourselves, we know that our parents or parent figures had a massive impact on each of us. We all know that. Fathers and all parents lead their families. The question is, where are we leading them to? What are our goals for our children? What should we be seeking to do in the way we raise our children? One goal that I seem to pick up is our great goal in parenting to survive, just to get through without murdering the kids. Is our great goal to make the kids happy, to smooth their way through life? Is our great goal in parenting to avoid conflict, to avoid discomfort? I want to suggest we should listen to what our Heavenly Father says our goals are to be. It's critical to hear what our loving Heavenly Father, hear what God says about the way we should approach parenting. And there is a massive wisdom in the Bible that will help your parenting. Even though, you know, there's no index you can look up that says T for teenagers, like you get in some parenting handbooks. I've learned so much from the wisdom and the perspectives in the Bible. Much of the teaching is in stories and really the overall approach, not in concise instructions. But there is actually a couple of little verses, and I want to take you to one of them that sets clear guidelines to shape the approach and goals we're called to have in parenting. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. So it comes just after the instruction to children. To children, obey your parents. We read in Ephesians 6, verse 4. I've put it up there as well, but it's not bad to see it in its context. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Couple of things on translation. The word fathers there has a little footnote next to it because the word translated fathers in English can be translated equally fathers and mothers. That's the way Greek works. It could be translated either way. So actually, ladies, if you don't like the translation, you might like to be picky about which one you like. But fathers, there is no getting out of this. This is what God is calling you to. Firstly, do not exasperate your children. This can also be translated, do not provoke your children to anger. This is actually a really unusual command. Every other command about family relationships speaks about what we are to do, not about the other person's response. But fathers has one that's related to their response, to the kid's response. Do not provoke them to anger. And I love the fact this has this, because it means fathers and mothers, parents, you have to pay attention to your kids and the way they are responding to you. You've got to adapt to them. How your kids view you and relate to you matters. We'll come back to that later. And secondly, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If we truly understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we truly love our children's salvation must be our highest priority. All earthly concerns for our kids must pale into insignificance next to whether our children honour Christ as Lord. Our hopes for their futures must first and foremost focus on where they will spend eternity. I remember the tears at a pastor's conference. As I think about it, with the number of people who would have been crying there, I would have been more people crying in that room than any other room I've been in my life. When the speaker was speaking about this with, and the fathers and mothers who were pastors were grieved and were crying out and praying for their children and the, amongst the children there who were not following Jesus. The speaker was actually sharing about how his son miraculously turned back and followed Jesus as well. I meet so many Christian parents whose hearts break over their adult children. If you are there, please don't think you're the only person here feeling that. Some are filled with regret. They'd do things so differently if they had their time again. Other parents are simply filled with pain. You cannot force another person to love Jesus. You cannot make your children accept Jesus as Lord. And then I meet other parents whose kids are still at home, who understand the importance of bringing up the children in the training and instruction of the Lord. They get that it's important, but they struggle so much with the how. How should we bring up our children in the training and instruction of the Lord? It can be really hard. Actually, not it can be really hard. It will be really hard. And it can be tempting to give up. These days in our specialized society, can be tempted to subcontract out the Christian training and instruction of the kids to the kids' church and to the youth group or to their school, especially when their going gets tough. Now, don't get me wrong, the wider family of God is critically important in your responsibility, but you cannot farm out the Christian discipleship of your children to others. And Christian fathers, see, fathers, you cannot delegate this responsibility to your kid's mother. She shares in this responsibility, and I praise God for the awesome work I see women doing in this, but God calls you to a responsibility here, fathers. God calls you to bring up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. You may have neglected this responsibility in the past, but please do not doubt that our great and mighty Heavenly Father, our great God, can work through you now as you pick up this responsibility going forwards. I know fatherhood is hard work. I know Christian parenting is hard work. That's why I look up so many resources on parenting. And it's not that any of the resources are perfect. Just like, it's not like my use of them is perfect at all. But this morning I want to share with you some of the best insights I've found on how to bring up children in the training and instruction of the Lord. I can group these into two main points. Two things I want my parents to know, actually. If you are using the outline, you actually need two columns. That just goes down one column, put two columns in there. Two things, actually these are two things I want everyone to know. But in particular, I want my children to know it is good to live under God's law. I want them to know it is good to live God's way. And secondly, I want my children to know it is good to live under God's grace. Look at the first half there. It is good to live under God's law. We were designed to live God's way. God doesn't instruct us because he's picking on us or being mean. God instructs us because he loves us. And he wants what is best for us, wants what is best for you. It is good for me to live with God as my king because God really does know better than me. He really does know better than you. So it's not surprising that when Jesus was starting his public ministry, he started by declaring, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near." Repent means to turn around, to change your direction, to change your mind. Change what you're doing. Start living God's way. Why repent? Because God's kingdom, God's rule has arrived with Jesus. Jesus is the Christ, the great King. Jesus is our King who loves us and saves us, but he is still our King. Which means Jesus is in charge. Not me, not us. So I want my children to know it is good to live under God's law. How can we teach our children it's good to live under God's law? I'll give you five quick things I've learned about teaching children it's good to live under God's law. Plundered this from lots of different areas. Look it up on the website if you like. Firstly, it is good to live under God's law. Where am I going? Showing it's good to live under God's law. Firstly, most importantly, live under God's law yourself. Jesus summarized the law. Galatians does as well. Jesus summarized the law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, the first and most important command. Love God with all you are and all you have. Foster your passion for God. Be devoted to Jesus yourself. Now, God knows life is busy. Life could be especially hectic during those critical parenting years. I mean, kids, work, house, partner, even finding time to sleep can be a challenge sometimes. But there is no more critical time to foster your love for God. What a wonderful witness to your kids it is when they see you growing in the fruit of the Spirit. When they see you prioritizing time in the Word and in prayer. When they see God changing you and growing you. I won't tell you stories I've seen of that now, but I remember actually being in a men's conference and the only thing I remember from this conference was that he said, "Your kids will be most inspired by, not what you say, by your passions." What do your kids see you being passionate about? I pray they will see you being passionate about Jesus. Now, I don't mean being passionate about church or about Christian music or about good works or about Bible knowledge or organizing church. I pray your kids will see you are passionate about Jesus. So, first thing, to help your kids see it as good to live under God's law, live under God's law yourself. Secondly, keep your word. I know this is part of living under God's law, but it's so critical it deserves a point on its own. It's also critical for keeping your words to your kids. It's a critical part of loving them. Your heavenly Father always keeps his word to his children. So fathers, we need to keep our word to our children. I remember listening to a wise old pastor reflecting on when things get hectic in ministry. And he said to me, or he said to a group actually, Kids understand when you're busy. They accept it when you're busy. But they don't accept it when you break your word. Kids need to know you are important enough to them to keep your promises to them. If you end up breaking your word to your child, there will be times. It should absolutely rip your guts out and drive you to serious confession and repentance. Remember that instruction we had earlier. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Well, your kids have a right to be angry with you if you provoke them by not following Jesus yourself when you're telling them to. Your kids have a right to be angry, are right to be angry with you if you provoke your children by breaking your word to them. So the two absolutely critical steps to not exasperate your children as you seek to bring them up with the training and instruction of the Lord are: be serious about following the training and instruction of the Lord yourself. And secondly, show them you value them, you love them, by keeping your promises to them. Now, these are the most important points. But there are other important things to say about showing your kids it is good to live under God's law. Let God speak. Read the Bible with your children. God speaks through His Word. Let God speak to them through His Word. Children's, you know, Christian DVDs, Christian music are okay. We love Colin Buchanan's music. Get into it if you haven't, if you've got young kids or grandkids. But even better is sitting with your child, reading the Bible and talking about it together. It was my wife Miriam who encouraged me to get our family reading and talking and praying together at the dinner table. We've used heaps of different things over the years, hosts of different children Bibles and guides and catechisms, and now one person simply reads the Bible out loud and we ask questions and talk and pray. Now see, reading with your kids is good for them, all the experts say that. Routines are good for your kids, they help build structure and safety. So why not have a routine of reading the Bible and praying with them? My tips for a lot of this is really hard, so I want to give you some tips I've got for this one. Really complicated tips. First of all, kiss. Keep it simple. Don't make it too long. Second tip, kiss. Keep it simple. It doesn't need to be brilliant, okay? You're on about helping build a diet of God's Word, not about putting on a brilliant banquet occasionally. It's not about me and how well I don't actually prepare it. It's about God. And thirdly, persist. It will feel awkward for a while. That's okay. Work towards a regular program, regular routine. Once you've got a regular routine, you know what will happen? Your kids will grow and change and mess it all up, and you'll have to work towards a new routine. Now, the main point is just get into your word with the word with your kids. However it happens, doesn't matter. Let God speak. Fourthly, let yourself speak. As parents, we want to follow the example that God sets with His children. And our God is a God who speaks. God sets clear expectations about what it looks like to live as His children. God doesn't leave us guessing about what He wants. That's why we read His word. And when God's people don't listen, God doesn't stop speaking or decide, well, His expectations are stupid for them. God keeps speaking to His disobedient children and reminding them of His clear expectations. That's what all the books of prophets in the Bible are about. And God's clear when I say God's clear expectations are expressed usually as principles, not as detailed instructions. God expects us to think through how to apply His expectations for us. So as parents, let yourself speak. Father, it is okay to set clear expectations. Children are instructed to obey their parents, which is really difficult if they don't have clear instructions on what they are to obey. Now, I need to put a qualification here about adult children. When our children are kids, we need instructions to support our actions. With adult children, words of instruction will often not be appropriate. Yes, we need to be prepared to speak when they're open to listening, but just as 1 Peter 3 warns wives against preaching at their husbands, in many adult family relationships, words of instructions can be a hindrance to the gospel. and transformed lives will be what is critical. Live under God's law. Keep your word. Be sensitive to the context. But finally, on showing that it is good to live under God's law, let there be consequences. Rejecting God's rule has consequences. Rejecting a parent's rule should have consequences. God disciplines his children because he loves them. Parents are called to discipline our children because we love them. Wherever possible, we want to make discipline a logical consequence of the action. So if a child misuses an electronic device, you ban that device for a season. You don't cut the relationship. It's okay to explain to kids the effects of their actions on others, including the family, including the effects on you. But we don't discipline to get revenge for your pain. Don't discipline to shame your kids because your kids shamed you. If you are angry, maybe you need to calm down before you do anything. Discipline your child for their good because you love them and you want them to grow. Let there be consequences because you love your kids. See, I want my children to know it is good to live under the law of our household, because what I really want them to be pointing towards is that it is good to live under the law of God's household. But not only do I want the kids to know it is good to live under God's law, I want them to know it is good to live under God's grace. Our Heavenly Father is the Father of Jesus' parable in Luke 15, the parable we call the prodigal son often, where the son has insulted the father. The son has rejected the father, abandoned him. The son has taken and wasted the father's property. And yet when the son comes to his senses and turns back to his father, the father welcomes and forgives him and is gracious far beyond what he deserves. Our children need to know that not only is it good to live under God's law, it's also good to live under God's grace. We are all sinners in need of forgiveness. And it is so good to live under God's grace. So, 5 quick tips to teach how good it is to live under God's grace. Firstly, grace for yourself. Live under God's grace yourself. Let your kids see that you know you are a sinner in need of God's grace. When you mess up, confess your sin to God and repent. When you mess up in a ways that affect your children, confess your sin to your children. Acknowledge the effect of your sin. Ask your kids to forgive you. And fathers, if you speak harshly to your wife in front of your kids, apologize to her and seek her forgiveness. And also apologize to your kids for your behavior. And my wife says mothers should do the same thing. And the Peacewise flyer in the foyer has great tips on what a real apology looks like. I encourage you to look at that, actually. Real apologies are a lot more wholehearted than what we often do. Confessing your sin to your kids doesn't mean that you abdicate your authority as a parent. Confessing your sin to your kids means you are honest about who you are. And you know your authority as a parent comes because you live under God's grace, who's trusted you with this awesome responsibility, who's trusted you because you know you are a forgiven child of the perfect Heavenly Father. Remember your own need of grace. Grace for yourself. Secondly, grace for your spouse. I've discovered the person I share parenting with is a sinner, almost as much as I am. When you are working, whoever you are working with in your parenting, they are a sinner too. They will mess up. Parenting is best played as a team sport, And I know this is not always possible. But there are massive advantages, especially when a husband and wife are on the same page about parenting. It is hard work to stay on the same page. We have different backgrounds and different assumptions. You will do things in parenting that your partner will disagree with. And our kids actually are quite used to Miriam and I taking a time out, and we need to go and talk. Because so that we could get on the same page or check that we're on the same page, we need to do that before we move forwards or before we make promises to our kids or before we dish out consequences to our kids. You need to show grace to your partner in parenting. Confess your failures to each other. Talk it through. Forgive one another. Then go out and work again. Fathers, have a lot of grace for your children's mother. So, have grace for yourselves as parents. Have grace for your lead partner in parenting. And you also need to have grace for your church family. Your church family are also your partners in parenting, and especially in bringing up your children in the training and instruction of the Lord. Your children need to have relationships with other people. This is such a powerful thing for children's lives, just so they see other people who also know it is good to live under God's law, who also know it is good to live under God's grace. God intends our life with Him to be lived in community, as part of a gathering of Christians, the church, loving one another and serving one another. Now, pastor, you know, let me tell you something that pastors know about churches more than any of you do, I'm pretty sure. Churches have problems. All churches on earth have problems. We are poor imitations of the heavenly gathering. Church is a hospital for sinners just as much as it is a school for saints. Why are there so many instructions in the New Testament for Christians to forgive one another? Well, probably because we will hurt one another. Parents, when something at church or someone at your church bugs you, and it will happen, don't go home and sound off about it in front of your kids. Show grace to your church. It is so critical that you encourage your kids to engage with God's people. By the way you engage with God's people and show grace for His people. Remember, the church is the family of God. The church is also the bride of Christ. If you love Jesus, you will have grace for His bride. Have grace for yourself, grace for your spouse, grace for the church, and most critically, have grace for your child. Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. I can more easily imagine my child doing that 7 times in a day than I can my brother. How much more, if we are to forgive our brothers and our sisters, should we forgive our children when they come to us? Our Heavenly Father always holds open the opportunity, the invitation for relationship with Him. No matter how many times you sin, if you repent, He welcomes you back. And our loving Heavenly Father is our model for parenting. Not only when they repent, but even before your child repents. In fact, even before you rebuke them or confront them or implement any consequences, be careful to leave space for grace and repentance in your consequences. I'm not saying sometimes they don't need to be strong consequences, but try to have logical consequences from the sin rather than relational consequences. You know, shutting down the relationship with the silent treatment, it's not a good consequence and should never be the first consequence. You know what I mean by the silent treatment? Anybody not know? Okay. I don't mean when you tell your teenager, if you keep shouting at me, I will end this conversation. No. Silent treatment is, you don't deserve even a word from me, except to do so without speaking. I'm not deserving. Remember, God is gracious to us when we do not deserve it. Remember, as God does this, God does not pretend that bad behavior is good. No, God is open about just how much our bad behavior has cost him. God knows we don't deserve his love, but God reaches out to us when we don't deserve it. God came to us in Jesus and lived as a human and suffered and died for us before we cared about him at all. And God is our model for how we are to love our children, especially when we feel they don't deserve our love. God gave us what is most precious to him. He gave us Jesus. What will it mean for us to love our kids with a love like that? In our busy lives, it's sometimes said that love is spelt T-I-M-E. If the devil wanted to stop fathers spending time with their kids, how would he do it? What lie do you think the devil would use if he wanted to stop fathers spending time with their kids? Do you think he'd go for the lie that work is more important than your kids? Or do you think he'd go for the lie that you need more me time more than you do time with the kids? I reckon he'd use this lie. A slower day is coming. It's a whopping lie. Invest in your parenting now. One final point before we wrap up. It is good to live under God's grace, so pray. God is a God of grace. God is good to us when we don't deserve it. He saves us when we don't deserve it. God hears our prayers even though we don't deserve it. God is the God of miracles who can and does save lost children. Pray for your kids. If you're at home, if your kids are still at home, then pray for your parenting of them. You need God's help. I know, because I need God's help. If your kids have grown, pray for them. No matter how far they seem to be away from God, keep praying. God is the God of grace. I've had the privilege with some of you of seeing God work miracles in some of your children in response to your prayers. Us human parents, we are so messed up and we struggle so much. So we pray to the perfect parent. We pray to our loving Father in heaven. To conclude, remember the two big things we want our kids to learn. It is good to live under God's law, and it is good to live under God's grace. I want to ask you to reflect personally for a moment. How do you react to each of these two statements? Is there one of the two you tend to gravitate towards in your life and one you tend to ignore? Would you be brave enough to ask a good friend or maybe a husband or wife which way they see you tending? Do you tend to neglect the goodness of living under God's law? Or do you tend to neglect the goodness of living under God's grace? It is tempting for all of us to want to God's law for others and God's grace for me. But I hope and pray God is helping you to break out of that trap. Do your children know it is good to live under God's law? Or do they fall into the modern heresy that all rules are oppressive? Do your children know it is good to live under God's grace? Or do they feel their acceptance depends on their performance? Parents, whatever age your kids are, however encouraging or discouraging your kids are, can I encourage you to do two things that God loves to work through to make a difference in children's lives, including in grown children's lives and grandkids' lives. Change is possible at any point along the journey. Our God is a God who saves. Firstly, commit yourself to living wholeheartedly for God. Consider which of these two you tend towards neglecting. Living under goodness of God's law or living in the goodness of God's grace, and seek to grow in that area. Pray for God's help to grow. It is such a powerful witness to children of any age when they see God changing their parents' lives. So commit yourself to living wholeheartedly to God. And second thing, pray. Will you join me in that now? Our Father in heaven, mighty, loving God, God whose law, whose way, whose instruction to us is perfect, God whose grace for us is greater than we can understand, God, all of us here are hurting. We are all aware that our earthly experience falls so far short. We are aware of our earthly fathers. We're so far short. We are aware that we have been so far short in the way we have lived. Lord, forgive us. Thank you that you do forgive us so completely through Jesus. And Lord, we pray for our kids. We pray for our grandkids. We pray for the kids of our church family out there in Kids Church and in the creation, in here. Lord, we pray for them with all our hearts that they may know it is good to live under your law, good to live with Christ as King. And we pray, Lord, that you will help them to know it is good to live under your grace, that they may know the overwhelming acceptance and forgiveness you offer in Jesus, our King. Lord, help us who are parents to live as parents more in your image, reflecting our Father in heaven. And Lord, help all of us to live more and more as your children, secure in the love of our Father in heaven. Amen.